Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast, WILK News Radio.
Great good morning, everyone. My Bacardo Jewelers watch tells me it is 10:07 and change here in the great Northeast this beautiful Tuesday, October 7, 2025. This is the Bob Cordaro Show, and I am he, wearing a shirt given to me on Saturday that says, Charlie Lives. It's a big day to fight for America, defend our values. And with the help of our man, John Basiliga, and his great companies like Serenity Care, to honor the brave who have made us and kept us free. People like Katerina Kalinowski of Nanticoke, George Farrell of West Scranton, Tyrone Terry Gabriel Gayeski, Makanakwa, Steve Kondratik, Exeter, and Clarence Dick Scholdeist, Freeland. So with history, our great founding fathers, and the incomparable Constitution of the United States of America as our guides, let us continue today's battle, gaveling back to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense, promising you that because of our commitment to common sense, we will provide a sanctuary of sanity for all. In a world that's gone insane, and a political party that's entire leadership is just full of lunacy. And then we've got an establishment and global leadership that has just, they're our enemies. Nothing more you can say about that. So, our friend Mark from Hazleton texts in. It is Desmond Tutu's birthday. We lost him in 2021. You remember him? I met him. He spoke at my college graduation at the University of Rochester. And he said, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Desmond Tutu, thank you. Thank you for that very much. So, so much going on here. And I just get, you actually could get overwhelmed by the stupidity. You really can. When you're dealing with people as ridiculous and dumb, but as we have in Illinois, just one example. I mean, I could go through the entire Democrat roster nationwide. AOC, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Gavin Newsom. These are scary, stupid people. And they're dangerous. They're in positions of power. It doesn't matter how mentally ill they are. They're in positions of power. Mother Teresa, St. Teresa for today, October 7th. She says, when you look at the inner workings of electrical things, You often see small and big wires, new and old, cheap and expensive, all lined up. Until the current passes through them, there will be no light. That wire is you and me. The current is God. We have the power to let the current pass through us, use us, produce the light of the world. Or we can refuse to be used and allow darkness to spread. Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa, always great. Feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary, Mary Regina points out. That's for you Catholics out there, including myself. My man Dom said he was both, and I don't know what it referenced. I apologize. He texted me. So I had to be calling somebody stupid and evil. Maybe at the beginning of the program, and sad to say, it's true. I mean, my word. All right, we're going to do a little early. We're going to take a break. Bob Cadaro, WILK, will return, and we've got a lot, man, just so much to do today. There's a lot to do and on this October 7th, the second anniversary of the slaughter in Israel by the evil that is Hamas. We'll be back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Had to wait till then. Murph tells us this date, 1972, the Raspberries moved up to number 5 with their hit Go All the Way. Bob Cadaro back with you. And, of course, Fox News. The channel made its debut this date, 1996, and saved us. Although maybe it drove the other channels to become lunatics, but it's hard to tell. But I will say this. Right now, no matter what the other networks and cable channels decided to do, thank God for Fox. Especially when I look at my job, which is to know and try to understand all the news. And you can't get it anywhere else. They just don't cover stories that they don't want to cover, that don't meet their agenda, unless it's forced on them. So thank God for Fox. Tim Naurasi. He is the foreign affairs correspondent at the Washington Examiner. And he's been reviewing this 20-point peace plan of President Trump's. And he's with us now to talk about all of that. Timothy, welcome to the Bob Cadaro Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. And thanks for coming on. Make some sense for us of all of this. The 20-point plan, some of the points seem, you know, okay, I get it. Is there anything in there other than taking away the power of Hamas that should be a stumbling block? A number of countries have stepped up and said, we're all in on this.
Well, the kind of breakthrough nature of this peace plan is that, like any sort of good negotiation, neither party walks away entirely happy. Trump, you know, really seized this opportunity following the bombing of Qatar to put the needles to Netanyahu and at the same time use Israel's supremacy militarily over Hamas to bring both to the negotiating table, willing to lose something in what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So the general idea is that Hamas must agree to disarm, lay down their weapons, and remove themselves from any semblance of leadership within Gaza at all in perpetuity. By doing that, according to this peace plan, Israel would then pull their military out of Gaza, and a international sort of joint technocratic body would take over governance in the short term as long-term governance is established, whether through the Palestinian Authority or through any other sort of more legitimate government. There are obviously to get this done, all hostages would have to be immediately released, both dead and alive. One of the big things that Trump is saying right here is that, look, Hamas, if you still are alive, because most of you have been killed, if you're still alive, Hamas combatant, this is your one off ramp where we will let you walk away without being killed. You're definitely not going to be able to remain in Gaza. You're going to have to go, you know, into exile somewhere, but maybe Iran, who knows? But you will not be hunted down and killed mm-hmm. if you just accept this deal, release the hostages, and get out. Obviously, that goes against Netanyahu's wishes. Netanyahu, from the very beginning, has said he wants to fully and totally eradicate every member of Hamas. But Netanyahu kind of compromised his own position when he bombed Qatar without Trump's approval. That sort of upset the entire geopolitical sphere in the region, and Trump saw that as his chance to have leverage over both parties and try to bring them together.
And Qatar, just for everybody else, no matter how you pronounce it, has been, would you call them, as you review it, an honest broker in all of this? They're certainly the only broker.
Well, you're certainly the only broker. Egypt has lent a hand. Egypt and Qatar have been the two countries that have been most effective at negotiating with Hamas. And, it's hard to say what an honest broker is, so to speak, but I'll say that they have a vested interest. Let's put it this way. They have a vested interest in this getting done, both Egypt and Qatar. So I would say that in that sense, they are honest. They want this over. They want this done. And, you know, obviously the backroom talks and discussions are a little vague. You get different reports from different parties, different officials leaking different information. But from what we in the press understand, you know, Qatar and Egypt have basically turned to Hamas and said, look, this is as good as it's going to get. This is your last chance. And if they're telling Hamas that, then I think that shows Trump has really kind of put the screws to everyone. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of room to wiggle on this.
Tim Naurazi is our guest. He's the foreign affairs correspondent at the Washington Examiner, talking about the Trump 20-point peace plan, which is under consideration. How many of the points can be dismissed or not accepted by the parties, and we still can move ahead?
So negotiations are ongoing in Egypt. They're in their second day. And if there's negotiations, that means that there is some, you know, negotiating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Trump, from the very beginning, has characterized this as largely a take-it-or-leave-it final proposal. So I know that in the past, when he's been he first ran this by, several mediators. He ran this by Israel. And Israel tried to really sort of chop and screw it, tried to get it more in line with what they want. And Trump allowed a few minor tweaks. We're talking about language. We're talking about just making sure that the terms are either specific or vague enough to everyone's liking. I know that the term Palestinian state was really scrutinized by the Israeli party. So there is room, I guess, for making sure that everyone is comfortable with the language. But in terms of the skeleton of the plan, that is, Hamas lays down arms, retreats out of Gaza, gives up any claim to future governance or military presence, Israel pulls out, and then international body takes over. The core of it is non-negotiable.
Tim Naurazi is our guest, foreign affairs correspondent at the Washington Examiner. What from your reading, and what are people around the issue saying are the hopes, and maybe if you could reduce it to percentage terms, of success and acceptance of this peace plan, or any peace plan by all parties?
Well, I think it's not any peace plan. It's this peace plan. Trump has said the final one. There's not going to be another, and he's basically given the green light. Again, he's playing these parties off of each other quite effectively, where he's
basically,
he's both said, you know, Israel needs to stop expansion, needs to give up its claims to trying to sort of colonize the West Bank, which was kind of a shock to a lot of people that thought that Trump was a diehard 100% Israel all the time sort of advocate. He's used that as leverage to get Israel to the table, saying, look, I'm not going to back every single thing that you do. But then he's also said to Hamas and to various Palestinian officials, look, if Hamas doesn't accept this deal, then it's open season. And he said something along the lines of all hell is going to be unleashed, basically saying, look, I don't want Israel to completely decimate this entire strip of land. I don't want Israel to completely snuff out this entire region and you know, it's sort of its sovereignty. But you have to come to, if you don't want that to happen, like I don't want that to happen, you need to sit at the table. You need to basically understand what time it is. And I'm prepared to make this final offer. I'm prepared to hold Israel back on this right now. But if you're not willing to negotiate, if you're not willing to understand that you have almost no leverage anymore, then I wash my hands of the situation.
Tim Naurazi, what's happening on the West Bank? I mean, that's a more substantial piece of real estate. It is affected by anything that happens in Gaza. And it's been relatively quiescent during this process. Where does that stand, if you know? I mean, how are they reacting?
The West Bank is the other major portion of the Palestinian territories, and it is largely more peaceful, a little less sort of overrun with militants than Gaza is. It's sort of seen as sort of where a Palestinian, a sense of legitimate Palestinian authority can come out of, right? They have their own government. I mean, it's very complicated to get into, but it's not very effectual right now.
Yeah.
They're caught in a limbo of both Israeli sort of governance, but, you know, a hypothetical autonomy. They've been recognized by the United Nations, but not by the United States, not by Israel, obviously. So it's very complicated. But the West Bank, you know, the main issue right now is Israeli expansion into the West Bank. There's been a lot of settlements that have slowly crept into what had been considered Palestinian territory. Obviously, the people of the West Bank, the military of the West Bank, does not have the resources, the military, to push back on that, and they certainly don't want to, because if they cause too much of a fuss about it, then it's going to invite conflict with Israel, which will not turn out well for the West Bank, and they generally try to keep as peaceful as possible. So right now it seems that Trump has basically put the kibosh any idea of Israel annexing the West Bank, which his ministers were getting quite vocal about their intention of completely taking it over. He's put the kibosh on that and basically used that and used his intervention there as a negotiating chip with Gaza, basically saying, look, I'm stepping in here and I'm holding Israel back, but I can only do that if you guys are willing to help me out. So again, he's giving everyone a little bit of what they want and no one everything what they want, which is, I guess, how a good negotiation goes.
Yeah, I would think. assuming we have logic on all sides. Tim Naurazi, so when the French, just for example, other European countries say we are going to recognize a Palestinian state, do they even know what they're talking about? They understand that there is no Palestinian state. First of all, it's a misnomer to start with. But do they understand that there are two different places? How does that become one country?
Well, there were these territories have been divided up several times since the British Mandate of Palestine, which was the original territory owned by the British Empire that Israel kind of generated out of. And it's a very, very complicated situation from an international law perspective, because when Israel declared its existence, they did not set out boundaries for what the state of Israel is. They didn't say, we claim the land between blank and blank, and everything within that is Israel, and everything else is not Israel. So these borders have been very vague since the very beginning. A series of wars took place following Israelis' declaration of independence, or declaration of sovereignty. And, you know, various wars have claimed territory from Israel, claimed territory for Israel from Palestine. Jordan has been involved. Egypt has been involved. And so these borders have moved quite a bit. And the general idea is that when Israel declared their sovereignty in the British Mandate of Palestine, there was an expectation for there to be an Arab state as well. Basically, you know, the original hope that never manifested was for an Arab state and a Jewish state to sort of split the territory and kind of live in peaceful coexistence. These series of wars have completely carved up the territory and now have like non-contiguous existence alongside each other. So the question does become, these territories, which the United States does not recognize as sovereign, Israel doesn't recognize as sovereign, but to be fair, many countries in the world do recognize a Palestinian state, right? Like they are at the United Nations. So it comes down to, what does it mean for these countries to recognize a Palestinian state? Are they willing to, you know, some countries have ambassadors to Palestine. Others don't. Some of them share ambassadors between Israel and Palestine. It will ultimately come down to, how far are the United Nations and various countries that recognize Palestinian statehood and Palestinian sovereignty, how far are they willing to go to advocate for and take action for the establishment and the, not just the establishment, but the protection and safeguarding of a Palestinian state.
And where that would be, where will that be is a significant question that they're just glossing over.
I don't think it's being glossed over. I think the general idea is that Gaza, East Jerusalem, and West Bank are what have traditionally been identified as Palestinian territories. But the question is one of logistics. How do you govern something like that? And it is difficult. It is difficult. I think that ultimately what happens with the Gaza Strip, if this peace plan goes through, if Trump, and it's actually kind of a bizarre, this gets looked over in the press sometimes, but it's a very bizarre proposal where Trump and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair would be in charge of the Gaza Strip in this post-war arrangement before a proper authority can be established. I think in that very hypothetical future where the peace plan is accepted, it goes according to plan, Trump is sort of overseeing this Gaza Strip. What he chooses to do with it when he feels that it is prepared to kind of go into its long-term existence, what he chooses to do with it will determine, you know, it's kind of crazy to imagine right now America just pivoting 180 degrees and recognizing a Palestinian state. But, I mean, this entire thing has been rather unprecedented. So who is really to say? I mean, we've gone from Trump saying, you know, Israel can take it, to saying that he wants to establish a freedom zone, to now he wants to directly govern it. So the future of Palestine is very, very vague. And it's really going to come down to whether this peace plan gets accepted, what Trump governs it as, and then what eventually it would become in a post, a sort of long-term arrangement.
Fascinating. Well, you keep following it for us, Tim Naurasi. We appreciate it. Tim Naurasi, the foreign affairs correspondent at the Washington Examiner. We appreciate your time and keep in touch with us. We want to be updated on all of this.
Thank you so much. I'm actually an NEPA native. So
oh, really? Where?
Yeah. I'm right across the border in Luzerne County, Dallas, PA.
All right. Well, that's
where I grew up.
That's the core of our audience. So that's great stuff, Tim. So that means you've got to come on even more often.
Absolutely. Have me on whenever you like.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Tim Naurasi, foreign affairs correspondent from Dallas, PA at the Washington Examiner. We'll be back. It's the Bob Cadaro Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Our veterans tribute this hour and every hour, this day and every day, brought to you by a true patriot, our friend John Basiliga. Featuring today just one of his great companies, Serenity Care, a personal care community with four locations, Mid-Valley, Old Forge, Wyoming, Kingston. Personal care services and dementia care services at their units in Mid-Valley and Kingston. Everything has been completely remodeled. The places are beautiful, spotless, and the standard for senior care in Northeast Pennsylvania, Serenity Care. Tyrone Terry Gabriel Gajewski. We lost him September 21st. He was 98. He was from Maconaqua. His Polish mother and his father, they came with quite a name combination. He was named after Hollywood heartthrob Tyrone Power. His father, Adam, who was a professional boxer, including matches in Madison Square Garden, and a coal miner, named his son Terry after an Irish pugilist that he admired. Terrible Terry McGovern, the Roman Catholic priest who baptized him, was not a fan of the name Tyrone, considering its Gaelic pagan history. And he asked for a Christian name, which was Gabriel, the archangel. He grew up at a time in anthracite-rich Northeast PA, and he was a breaker boy. His father, though, survived a mine cave-in, and Terry says, I got to get out of the coal region, and joined the Air Force at age 17. Military planes flew him around the world for 20 years, first to Shepherd's Grove, England, and later to Phu Cát, Vietnam, just in time for Ho Chi Minh's Tet Offensive. He was awarded the Bronze Star. Terry took advantage of his military-funded education, got a bachelor's and master's degree, retiring as a captain in the Air Force. Having safely returned to the United States, he met another Air Force captain, Los Angeles-born future wife Gail Yvonne Wisehart. They settled down, had two boys in Bear Creek. He entered politics, serving a Bear Creek Township supervisor for 18 years. He wrote a book, Tough Decisions by Past Presidents and Tough Decisions to be Made by You. His family says in that book he got some things right, like predicting the legalization of marijuana, and some things wrong, concerned about his son's future education. Well, they both went to West Point and MIT, respectively, so they did all right. Did a lot of stuff in Bear Creek. He said, build gyms now or build prisons later. In his twilight years, he became a Cheers-like norm at the 10 East End Center Red Lobster in Wilkes-Barre Township. The restaurant team affectionately referred to him as the Salmon Man because he always ate salmon. Became a grandfather figure to quite a few of the employees. And he was an actual grandfather to his son Troy's two sons. The family thanked the friendly Red Lobster crew. He joined his Heavenly Father on September 21st, survived by his former wife Gail, sons Ty and Troy, grandchildren, brother, sisters, and other family members, the obit concludes, cheers to a long and happy life. Tyrone Terry Gabriel Gajewski, our veteran this hour, brought to you by John Basiliga and Serenity Care. Storm Tracker 16 forecast from meteorologist Joe Snedeker. Today, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower by evening, 75. Tonight, cloudy with showers likely, 55. Wednesday, partly sunny, breezy and cooler, 65. Thursday, sunny and cool, 58. It's 72 outside the studios right now. Neil Sedaka. Murph says this date, 1974, he released his hit, Laughing in the Rain. Bob Cadaro back with you on the eponymous program. Let's go to Joe in Berwick. He's been very patient with us. Joe, how are you?
Oh, hello, Bob. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for calling.
Two things I want to address. I think, number one, it'd be great if Donald Trump inserted himself into the California recovery effort and actually forced things to happen on the federal level to more show the people of that state what their politicians are like and what he's like.
Yeah.
And the second thing I want to comment on...
They don't even know what a politician is that could actually get things done. They don't know that. They have no experience with it.
No, they don't. I agree. The second thing I wanted to comment on, Bob, it has to do with what's being claimed is going on in Chicago and other places. Now, I will admit, unlike my progressive friends, I will admit that when I get my news feeds from, you know, my social media, I'm getting, obviously, a biased opinion, and that my friends on social media are pretty much people who agree with me. But I thought about this, and I thought, well, if they're claiming this stuff is going on and it, you know, these people are acting like jackbooted thugs, wouldn't there be actual live footage of this that somebody could post? Because I'm not sure anybody's produced that. I mean, if they are, you know, you don't mind me saying, by all means, call your program and let us know. But I don't believe there's any footage of this stuff they say the federal agents are doing. All the footage I'm aware of, which, like I said, I know I get from a biased source, all the footage I'm aware of shows these crowds basically agitating and attacking federal agents doing their job, not the other way around.
You know, here's the problem the people on the left and the people who support the current Democrat leadership have. They're wrong. There's no iffy. Well, you know, I guess if Brandon Johnson, J.B. Pritzker, you think about the sick, twisted leadership. Chuck Schumer, they're wrong about everything. There is no middle ground here. There's no room for compromise. There really isn't. You either pay an extra $1.5 trillion or of borrowed money, or you don't compromise with these fools in the Democrat Party.
Well, yeah.
There's the problem.
I understand that, you know, we're in agreement that they're wrong, and I know all that. But I'm just saying that the claims being made about how the federal agents are going into these areas and what they're doing, that seems to me like that'd be pretty black and white. If they're doing what they're claiming they're doing, there ought to be photographic evidence of it. And I'm just not challenging anyone to produce that.
To make the ignorance level of the people fighting Trump's policies, which are nothing but common sense, the lack of caring for the people they represent is off the charts. They don't care if people get murdered in their own cities, their own constituents. It's irrelevant to them. These people are just insane.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you argue with the same people? And the people who are adherents are either not paying attention or they're fools. I don't, there's not much you can say. Oh, well, you know, there's not another side to these arguments, and I'm not used to that. This is a relatively new development. It's
crazy. I understand that, but I just, if you didn't mind me putting that out there.
I don't mind at all.
True,
I look for something to say. Well, you got a point there. I can't even find a good point. You even see when the trolls are sending in things to have me respond to, they'll make a point that is a non sequitur from what we're even discussing. And to stay in that position makes zero sense. By the way, Joe, the only guy not, even though he's voting left-wing all the time, John Fetterman is the only guy that's calling them out when they're insane.
Yep, that's true. And I got to tell you, he's proved himself wrong to me. He's proved himself much better than what I thought he would be. I've got to admit that.
Well, I mean, that's not saying much, but at least he'll say something sensible every month or so, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, and vote that way sometimes as well.
I haven't seen that. I've not seen it. CR, I pointed that out, but it doesn't happen often, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
All right. Well,
appreciate it, my friend. Always a pleasure. We've got to take a break because the Bloomberg Money Minute is going to tell us what's happening. We've got phone calls I want to get to. Bacardo Jewelers Watch says 10:50. That's the song that Bulldog makes me sing to him every day that he came and gave without taking. Hey, I'm joined in the studio by an old friend but a political opponent forever. By the name of Bob Casey, Scranton School Director, and he brought to my attention, these people are crazy, and believe me, don't think it doesn't come to the local level. Wendy Wilson, all right, she was with Cartwright's office. She's a left-wing lunatic. I know her for a long time. I like her, but she's insane, and just a lunatic when it comes to politics. So Rob Bresnahan shows up at a school director's party on Sunday, Scranton school director's party, and they're offended. And so now to tell you the coordination between lunatics, she makes a post, Wendy Wilson does, "Holy guacamole, aren't we supposed to be dedicated to keeping MAGA influence from creeping into the Democrat Party? We're supposed to be Team Blue Revival." In other words, sick, twisted, left-wing lunacy. Now, Bob Casey, for all the times we have disagreed, is a normal Democrat. And that's rare to find as an elected official. So now the funny part, you know, Wendy, whatever. She's Paige Cognetti's hit person. Mayor Paige Cognetti's hit person. She's the person who got hired last year to run the congressional campaign that Paige lies and says she just decided on in September. You know, they're liars. All right. But she knows already what Chris Kelly's column is going to be tomorrow. So don't tell me the left-wing lunatics. It's all coordination. It's all fake. It's all phony. Bob, you've been a Democrat and a loyal Democrat forever. We were on the opposite sides all the time. How do you deal with this?
Well, Bob, I really don't know what's going on. And the reason is
What do you have to do with Rob Bresnahan understanding that he should go to a political party?
Absolutely nothing. I was there to support Joe Brazil, Chizik, Jenna, and Carol. And I was standing there, and I saw Bob Bresnahan and his lovely wife pull up. And this is what people don't understand. The picture that was
she's posting old pictures.
It was done 4 years ago. Bob Bresnahan wasn't a congressman.
Yeah.
I wasn't a school director. It was taken up at Shenanigans in the Poconos.
Yeah.
And
but for an ass like Wendy Wilson, this is a murderous offense.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
my God, you were friendly with someone who was a businessman.
and both of us weren't in politics.
Yeah.
And Charlotte was on Channel 16 at the time.
Yeah.
And or Chelsea, and I said, let's do a photo. She was kind enough. At the time, I was being treated for prostate cancer with radiation, and I lost my teeth. But now, all of a sudden, yesterday, I get a call from Chris Kelly, and he's basically saying that I'm the guy that invited Bob Bresnahan. I said, what? And
these people are sick. Now, unfortunately, and they're your party, Bob Casey.
Hey,
they're your political party.
Bob, and that's the amazing part about it, is I was there. He's now a congressman. I'm now a school director. I knew him from years gone by, and I didn't see any problem talking to him for a lot of times. Matter of fact, a lot of the time I spoke to him, how our federal funding was cut at the Scranton School District.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm there working for the people of the city of Scranton. Am I a Democrat? Yes. Am I a loyal Democrat? Yes. But in my role as a school director, I represent Democrats and Republicans.
Like me.
Like you. And my thing is, I believe that you should be able to talk to everybody. Did I invite him? Absolutely not. I mean, all I was there supporting my candidates, my school director candidates. And next thing I know, because I spoke to him, and did I speak to him in a long time? Yeah, we talked about a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And I believe that if you can't talk to the other side, you're never, ever, ever going to get anything done.
Yeah.
And do I agree with a lot of Bob's or Rob's views? Absolutely not. You know how I am, Bob.
But apparently you didn't pass idiot Wendy Wilson's purity test and sick, mentally ill Chris Kelly's.
Well, here's the part that aggravates me. There were other independent candidates at this affair, but nobody attacked anybody for talking to them. I'm, according to that picture and that post that Wendy Wilson put up, who I understand is the press secretary
for Paige Cognetti,
is that I'm a farce. I'm not a Democrat. Well, I've been in Democratic Party for 45 years. And if Wendy Wilson ever walked in here, I wouldn't know her. She's a hired hand for Paige Cognetti. But more important is, I meet people 4 years ago. I have my picture taken with them. Now, all of a sudden, I'm anti-Democrat?
These are insane people your party, Bob. These are insane people.
And Bob, the reason I'm here today is because they're calling me the fake Bob Casey. Well, I've been in Democratic Party for 45 years. I worked against a guy by the name of Bob Cadero and yes. Munchak. And you know that. You used to call me Garfield. We got to understand, these people aren't our enemies.
Yeah.
They're our opponents. But we're all there for the same reason.
Not for the lunatics.
And if we don't talk to each other, hey, and I'll tell you what, if Sunday happens that we're able to get federal funding for the Scranton School District, I'll take this criticism any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But more important is, I feel that they're trying to drive the Paige Cognetti group, the moderates, out of the party.
Yeah.
If you don't belong to her philosophy, and when Chris Kelly called me yesterday,
well, Bob, we've got to go to news. We'll carry it over. We want to talk about this a little bit more, so hang in there. We're going to do the news. Bob Cordaro, WILK. We'll come back. Bob Casey, Scranton School Director, who is under assault from the left-wing lunatics, Wendy Wilson of the Paige Cognetti campaign, and, of course, Paige Cognetti hiding behind her, and Chris Kelly, the mentally ill columnist for the Scranton Times. We'll be back.
WILK News Radio. This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.